We will be discussing two topics. The first will be the longevity of the earth. And the second topic will be the two ages or two covenants that are spoken of in the Bible. This first topic about the longevity of the earth is brought about by a prevalent understanding in the church, which is of the belief that someday this earth, the physical earth, is going to be destroyed and a new one will be created. Now, there are a number of scriptures that the proponents of that theory use to verify their understanding. But I think as we go through the material in the Bible, I hope you will see, as I have, that there's a number of misunderstandings about the scriptures that are being used to support that theory. So what we're going to be doing is uncovering those scriptures and looking at them in detail to see why it is people came up with that particular belief system about the earth. To start with, we'll turn to figure 33A, which is entitled, When Will the Earth Be Destroyed? And I start out at the top by a quotation from Psalms 104.5, verse 5. Here the scriptures read, Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever? This scripture, this verse, is indicating that the foundations and establishment of the earth were meant to be forever. Ecclesiastes 1:4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. So there God is comparing the passing away of one generation of people upon another, but contrasting it with the earth, he says that this earth will be forever. It is not going to pass away. Psalm 78, verse 69. And he, referring to God, built his sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth, which he hath established forever. God has established the earth forever. All right, those passages naturally are from the Old Testament. Let's take a look in the New Testament and see if it has anything to say about this topic. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the... Now the King James there, the old King James, translates the next Greek word, world. And this is a source that these people that believe that the world or the earth is going to pass away use this particular verse. But that Greek word is aeon, which we've already looked at. And we found that that word is properly translated ages. So that should read, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So not talking about the end of the world there. That scripture is talking about the end of the ages. Now we'll be discussing that in the second half on this side of the tape, the topic of the two ages in the Bible. Matthew 12, verse 32, last part of that verse, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this age, neither in the age to come. Now we can use this verse in two respects here. One would be to show that we're not talking about the world, we're talking about two ages here. So you cannot use that verse to justify a belief that the world is involved in that. We're talking about something to do with a time span. And this verse, its second application, will be in the second half of this tape. When we talk about the two ages, and we could see right here that there's already an inclination that there are two ages that are involved in the Bible, neither in this age or in the age to come. Two discrete ages are being talked about. Matthew 13:39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Now, I'm not using that scripture to prove that the world is not going to pass away. What I'm showing is that those that use this verse as the previous one, to justify an understanding that there is an end to this world are improperly and using that verse because it is a poor translation of the Greek word aeon, meaning age and not world. Matthew 13:40, the very next verse, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age. So at the end of this age, the tares are going to be gathered and burned in the fire. Now we're going to talk about what this age stands for in just a few moments. The same chapter, Matthew 13, verse 49. So shall it be at the end of the age. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Matthew 13, 38, 39, and 40. Is an interesting bit of scripture, and perhaps I should take time to turn in my Bible and read those three verses, because I think in here you're going to see some interesting translation work, and it'll tell us something about those who translated the Old King James. I'm going to read the three verses, starting with verse 38 in chapter 13 of Matthew. The field is talking about the parable of the tares. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of a wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Now, would you believe that in verse 38, where it says the field is the world, that word is properly translated there. It is the Greek word cosmos, and it should be translated world. But in verse 39, where it says, the harvest is the end of the world, that is not the Greek word cosmos. That is the Greek word aeon, and should be translated age. As is the case in verse 40, with the second part of that verse, which reads, so shall it be in the end of this world. That word world again is aeon, meaning age. So here the translators, it would appear to me, have brought their own theology and doctrine into their translation work and have grossly mistranslated this in these three verses. So to read those three verses properly, I'm going to go back and do that. And perhaps if you have a more up-to-date or a more modern translation, your scripture already reads in this manner. But a more correct translation would then be, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age. Let's move on to the next figure in your packet, which is 33b. It's a continuation of these proof scriptures. Matthew 24, verse 3. A question is being asked, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Two interesting words in that verse. The word coming there is the Greek word parousia, or parousia, or parousia, however you choose to pronounce that. That's talking about the coming of Christ, the presence of Christ. Actually, that word parousia, in my mind and from my understanding, more accurately, should be translated coming, presence rather, presence. And the end of the world, here again we have that word aeon again, and it should be age. So the proper translation and reading of that verse should be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming parousia and the end of the age? That was the question being asked of Jesus. Matthew 28:20, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. We'll be seeing shortly that what Jesus was talking about there was the end of the Old Covenant, that he would be with them to the end of the old covenant. Next verse on that page, Mark 10:30, and in the world age to come, eternal life. Aha! So here again we have a scripture that's talking about two ages, a second age. The previous verse said that Jesus would be with them until the end of the age, and now there is a reference here saying that there is going to be an age coming in which eternal life is a prevalent feature. Let's look at Luke chapter 20, verses 34 and 35. Starting with verse 34. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world, which is age, marry, and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. In both cases, that word world should be translated age. Here again, we have a text that's indicating two ages. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 through 8. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the princes of this age, referring to the Jewish leadership. That's who the princes of this age were, the princes of the leaders of the in the Old Covenant, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Here again, that word world should be age. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this age knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So in those three verses, we have four occurrences, which in the Old King James are translated world, each one of them being the Greek word aeon, which should be translated age. Ephesians 1:21, not only in this age, but also in that age which is to come. Now, I've inserted the second age in there. It's not in this verse, but obviously it's implied, isn't it? Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Well, what is the that which is to come? It's pretty obvious that it's talking about a second age there. Hebrews 6:5, the powers of the age to come. Perhaps we should say right now that's talking about the new covenant. Hebrews 9:26. But now once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now that's quite clearly a reference to Jesus dying on the cross. That the he that appeared is Jesus Christ. One of the reasons he appeared was to put away sin, or to offer himself as a sacrifice for the sin of the world by his personal sacrifice and death on Calvary. Now that happens only once in the scripture, one death, one sacrifice of the perfect, unspotted Lamb, Jesus Christ, for the sins of the entire world. Notice when it takes place, the timing of it. This will help us in the second part of our lesson on this side of the tape. But now once in the end of the age, so this is taking place at the end of the age, the first age, which is the old covenant. Now each of the scriptures that we've just looked at, either in a positive manner, says that the earth was established by God forever, and the balance of the scriptures that we went over, we have taken all the proof texts that are used and are for backing up the understanding that's in part of the church even today and has been in the past, that the earth someday would come to an end. And we see that you cannot use those passages because it is not talking about the physical earth, but it's talking about an age that would end, and not a world or the earth. So those, you might say, we looked at them in a negative manner. They're not proving that the earth is forever, but what they're doing is destroying the reasoning that uses these verses to say that the earth is going to come to an end, because it is in no manner of talking about the earth or the world at all. My conclusion at the bottom of 33b is that insofar as we know from the scriptures, when does the world end? The answer to that would have to be never. All right, the second topic on this side of the tape, I promised you, would be the ages or covenants of the Bible. Most people separate the Bible into the Old Testament and the New Testament, and even translators and publishers have perpetrated that upon the church, and the way in which they mechanically set up the Bible and print it. But this is a man-made division. The Bible itself does make a distinction in time, but it does not use the Old and the New Testament, but rather it uses two ages. To help to introduce this topic, turn to figure 19, which is entitled The Two Ages or Covenants. The first scripture in the upper left-hand corner is Ephesians 1:21. Which I will read from Scripture. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So here we have an indication that there are two ages. It's talking about this age and that age which is to come. Two clear and distinct ages. Now, if you'd like more proof about the age to come, let's take a look at Hebrews 2:5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the age to come, whereof we speak? The age to come, future event, at the time that the writer wrote the book of Hebrews, which was approximately the time period of AD 54, there was an age that was to come, a future age. These two ages can also be called the covenants, and they are, in fact, in the scriptures, and we'll get into that shortly. And what we have, what's happening here is we can contrast these two ages. Notice on the chart, on the left we have the age or the covenant of law is being contrasted on the right with the gospel of grace. On the left, we're contrasting Moses, who is the recipient of the law, with Christ over in the new covenant. Christ who fulfills the old covenant and established the new covenant. The old, or the first age, was narrow. It was an exclusive system embracing a single people, Israel. Now, this does not mean that the Gentiles were eliminated from that particular activity in the Bible, but for a Gentile to partake in this system, they had to join or be proselytized into the Jewish religion in order to partake. And a number of people did that. Over on the right, the new covenant, or the age to come, embraces the entire family of mankind. And Paul actually makes statements in the scriptures that in the new covenant, there is neither Jew, nor Greek, or Gentile. There's neither circumcised or uncircumcised. He even goes as far as to say that there is neither male nor female, and that we're all one in Christ Jesus. So anyone in the new covenant who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of ethnicity, religious affiliation, male or femaleness, it does not matter, because all of those distinctions pass away in the new covenant which Christ brought in to its fullness. On the left, we have the old covenant consisting of symbols, ceremonies, where religion equated to spiritual service. In the new covenant, we find that the scripture says that every place is a temple and every believer is a priest. So no matter where you are standing on this physical earth, that's a temple, because you are that temple. Every believer is a temple, because as we saw in our earlier training, that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God comes and lives within us. He makes his dwelling place within us. He no longer lives in temples made by hands, but he lives in our fleshly temple, the church, of which we are a part. Let's move on now to figure one, which I've entitled the Two-Age Jewish View of Time. It's quite a complicated chart, but I hope it will be very beneficial in your understanding of the subject. On the left, I've put in a box at the top this present age. Over on the right, I've contrasted it with the age to come. So you might see the left side being the old covenant, the right side the new covenant, and there's an area in between, and we'll talk about that as we go along. Let's run down the left-hand column of this present age. This is the age of Moses. It's the old covenant, the age of the temple system, where God dwells in the temple made with hands. This is also referred to in the scriptures as the old heaven and earth. And we have a number of scriptures that contrast these two covenants, part of which I've indicated here in my next statement, saying that God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now that scripture is actually continued between the two lines in the middle of the chart, indicated as AD 30 and AD 70, in smaller type there to the right. It says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So that scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And you can see that at the time that Hebrews was written, which we just previously mentioned, I believe, was about AD 54, this scripture was penned saying that God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, this is all talking about the old covenant, hath in these last days, now what are the last days? The last days are those, the time period between AD 30 and AD 70. That's the last days of the old covenant. That's what's being referred to there in Hebrews 1. Verses 1 and 2. We have other statements, one of which we just read on the previous chart from Ephesians 1, 21. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. There is the contrast of those two ages. Now let's jump over to the right-hand side, the age to come. We have there the establishment of God's eternal kingdom. This is the new covenant. It is an eternal covenant. This present age of the old covenant was for a discrete period of time. It ended, as we'll see later, with the crucifixion and the coming presence of Jesus Christ in AD 70. That ended the old covenant. It was not an eternal covenant. The new covenant is an eternal covenant. And it came in during that same period of time as the old was being phased out, the new covenant was being phased in, and it is an eternal covenant and an eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior. In the new covenant, or the age to come, God dwells not in a temple made with hands, but in a temple of flesh, the body of Christ. The new covenant, or the age to come, is also referred to in the scriptures as the new heaven and the new earth. Now let's look at the approximate period of AD 30 to AD 70. Now this is to coincide with the ministry, the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ at 30 AD. He had an approximate 3.5 year ministry here on earth. It's Jesus of Nazareth that we're talking about now. He was then crucified, resurrected, ascended to heaven, entered into the Holy of Holies and the spiritual realm in heaven, taking in his blood to the Holy of Holies for the once and for all sacrifice for the sins of the world, and then returned. His presence returned in AD 70 during the destruction, with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, to set up his eternal kingdom. Now the period of time from AD 30 to 70, I've labeled there, this is the time of the expected visitation of Messiah God, or some, quite often called in the scriptures, the day of the Lord. We've already read the Hebrew scripture down at the bottom. In the lower right-hand corner, notice I have a scripture quoted there from 1 Peter. Let's take a look at that. 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So Peter, speaking in real time to those people, is saying that Christ was made manifest in these last times for you. He's talking about that period of time when Christ was both here on earth and was crucified, resurrected, ascended, and then returned. To show that there is an end to this present age, in the lower left-hand corner, we identify the end of the age with the scriptures Matthew 13:39, which we should read. Scripture that we've already read earlier on this tape. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age. Verse 49. So shall it be at the end of the age. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Matthew 24:3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Word coming there is parousia, presence. And at the end of the age. 28:20, Matthew. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. Hebrews 1:1-2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers of the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages. And 9:26 of Hebrews. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the age, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now many of these scriptures that I just read we covered previously, but I thought it important to show you that there is a definite end to the period of time referred to in the scriptures as this present age, which is referring to the Old Covenant in the Scriptures. Now, many people are disturbed or unclear about what's going on in the center of this chart in Figure 1, the period of time from AD 30 to 70. So what I've done there is to try to amplify that slightly on Figure 13. What I've chosen to call this period of time is the transition time. It's the transition of the two covenants of the Bible. And over on the left-hand side of the chart, what I'm showing there is time is going from left to right, and the degree of existence is increasing as you go from the bottom to the top of the chart. Now, what is all this trying to show? If you start with the Old Covenant line, which is that broken segmented line, says that the Old Covenant, which is this age, which is the heaven and earth being talked about in the Bible, is a temporal thing. It's a temporal, temporary covenant. And you'll notice that it's coming along during time until it gets to a point there where the two arrows intersect. Now, what are those two arrows pointing out? What is that period of time? That time, discreetly, is AD 30, which is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is when he finally is launched into his earthly ministry. At that point, when Jesus starts to speak, he is beginning to teach and to phase out the Old Covenant. So therefore, I've taken that segmented line and I've started it down toward the bottom edge of the paper. That's showing that the Old Covenant, starting in AD 30, with the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ, is beginning to be phased out. It continues to be phased out all during the period of time from AD 30 until, as we can see, in 33 and a half AD, approximately, Jesus was crucified. He dies, he's buried, he's resurrected, he ascends to heaven, completes all of the requirements of this high priestly calling, fulfilling everything that's necessary for the salvation of those who will believe about what he said about himself in the Scriptures, that he was truly the Son of God and that he was the perfect Lamb who could be sacrificed for the sins of the world, so that all that would believe on his name would be saved and have eternal life. The Old Covenant continues to be phased out as we go down that segmented line until we intersect the AD 70 line, and there we have labeled it the Old Covenant ends, because in AD 70 the temple, the priesthood records, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman army, and that is the time in which Christ's presence returns to earth, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, indwelling believers and establishing, actually the establishment had already begun, starts to indwell, or he is indwelling, each believer, which is his church that he is building. Now, if we go back to the center of the chart there, there is a solid line that starts, and the arrowhead is labeled New Covenant Begins. So we have Jesus coming and preaching the introduction and the beginning of the establishment of the New Covenant. And while the Old Covenant is decreasing, we see that the line is sloped upward, the solid line, showing the establishment of the New Covenant until it's fully established at the parousia of Jesus Christ in AD 70. This is the age to come that the Scriptures speak of, or the new heaven and the new earth, which is an eternal covenant. And at the bottom, I've labeled that period of time as the transition period for the covenants, or the ages, the aeons, the this age and the age to come. This is the generation of Matthew 24:34 that Jesus speaks of. Jesus said that all these things will take place in their generation to whom he was speaking. So those who look for a physical coming of Christ to set up an earthly kingdom, of which there are people in the church, according to this understanding of the scriptures, which I see to be accurate, no such earthly kingdom will ever be set up. Jesus said that his kingdom was not of this world. Another topic that we'll get into at a later date. But right now, this is as I see it, and hopefully if you study the scriptures, you will see that this is so. Let's move on to the next figure, which is figure 15, which again will help to clarify somewhat the Old Covenant and the New Covenant contrasted against each other. On the left, we have the promise till the seed should come. This is from Galatians 3:19. This is fleshly Israel, the Old Covenant. It's earthly. It's a temporal kingdom. It has earthly types and shadows of the promise. In other words, what we mean by types and shadows, there are things that happened during the Old Covenant which was indicating a reality that was yet to come. As an example, under the Old Covenant, in order to take care of sin and the lives of the people, an animal had to be slain and sacrificed for those sins. Now, this was but a type or a shadow of the real thing, and the real thing was that someday Jesus, the Son of God, would come and he would die as the perfect sacrifice, as the one and only sacrifice that would end all animal sacrifices. So the type, the Lamb of the Old Testament, was a shadow or a type of the one and only real thing which was to come in the future and establish the eternal kingdom of God by his death on the cross. Over on the right-hand side of the chart, we have the fulfillment of the promise, the new covenant. Contrasting fleshly Israel, we have spiritual Israel. We find from the scriptures that spiritual Israel are all those who believe in Christ, regardless of heritage and any other distinction. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Where the Old Covenant was earthly and a temporal kingdom, we find over on the right the New Covenant is a heavenly, eternal kingdom. Luke 1:33. Let's read that scripture. Talking about the birth of Jesus, the coming of Jesus. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The right line, the vertical line on the right-hand side of the chart, right center of the chart, is labeled Parousia, AD 70. And down toward the bottom, we have the consummation of the age that Matthew talks about in 24:1-3. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? That's the consummation of the age that they were talking about. Paul also makes a proclamation about this in 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, for they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. That is marking the end of the Old Covenant age, a period of time between the two vertical lines, AD 30 and AD 70, are referred to as the end time or the latter days.